I'm for Gene Shepherd, humorist, after-dinner speaker, and recipient of the Mark Twain Award for 1976. Here's Gene. Now, if you think chicanery is big in this country, may I salute the Montevideo, Uruguay. Montevideo, Uruguay. They know how to do it down there. Prison warden Celestiano Vergara was caught staging a holdup on his day off. Now, you didn't hear that, Joe. You got to hear this. I have to start at the top now. Prison warden Celestiano Vergara was caught staging a holdup on his day off. And he went to jail as an inmate of his own jug in Montevideo recently. Police found a large cache of stolen goods at his home. And I kind of like the idea, though, the warden going out on his day off and holding up jewelry stores and stuff like that. And then they lay the arm on him, and he shows up back at the jug, at the very jug that he left. Can you see the warden now sitting there in the middle of all this? You know, the big scene they always have in the mess hall? All the guys are banging the cups. I don't know how many times I've seen that scene. Does that actually happen in real prisons, or is that only movie prisons? For those of you who don't know what goes on here in New York, you may be living outside, you don't realize that every day, no matter what kind of weather, there's a little group of people standing on a street corner waiting for a bus to take them to whatever track has got the horses going. Now, you figure, I always do, I figure, how the hell do these guys get off work all the time? But there they are. Where did they get the scratch? But there they are. And they all look the same. They have these sort of scruffy gray overcoats. There's a certain look about them. There's a certain stolid look to them. Often they look like they haven't shaved too well. But there is a dedicated monastic attitude towards them. They are serious students. You can see them in the H&H sitting there with all their form sheets. And you'll see guys sitting there, and they will not move a muscle for an hour and a half just looking at this long list of figures, strange symbols of what the Danny boy did in the fifth at Pimlico 2 years ago. And they're figuring. See, he's going in the third today at Aqueduct, and they're trying to figure out how he's going to do today. Well, this is a very important study in the city of New York. And I might add also that it produces some great scenes. Well, I'm walking along 7th Avenue, going uptown, when all of a sudden two guys come out of the OTB, and they're right ahead of me, and these two guys, silent, they come out. They're looking very, very dedicated or bugged or something. They come walking out, and I can't help but overhear them. One guy suddenly turns to the other guy and says, "Oh, my God, I'm going to get killed tonight. I'm going to get killed tonight." The other one says, "Well, I told you to keep at least $10 out." He said, "Oh, God." He said, "I don't know what we're going to eat." At that point, I mercifully tuned out. I could just see the guy arriving back home out in the Bronx, breaking it to his wife that they are now going to go on a diet of Rice Krispies for the one disastrous afternoon on 7th Avenue. Listen, I learned that the worst thing that can happen to a guy in his feckless youth, I'm talking about in his teens, is to win. Because then an illusion sets in that betting is about winning. But I'll tell you this, though. I had an experience that when I was 16. I remember I was 16. Actually, I remember I was a junior in high school, and I remember what happened so vividly that I have never since walked into an OTB parlor. I am not drawn to OTB parlors. Other guys are. Now, I am not. I have never stood in front of the $2 window at Yonkers Raceway. I'm not drawn to this. Now, if I do occasionally get pushed into going to a track, and I have done this, I go to look at the pretty horses. That is correct. But you will not find Shepherd remorselessly standing out in front of that $10 window, and I'll tell you why. What happened to me? It was a moment which I shall never forget. I have to explain something to you, that in many schools in this nation, the students buy their own books. Now, in most schools here in New York, I guess, the books are supplied by the school. Right. Well, in my school, in many schools that people go to, it's not this way, that every year you have to buy books for the next semester. You know what? The new semester that's starting, you have to buy an English 2 book. Now, they generally, you buy used ones. That the preceding class has a lot of used books on hand. A guy getting through with English 2 doesn't have much use for an old English 2 book, see? In fact, he didn't have much use for it generally when he had it, but nevertheless, you got to buy it. So we had to buy books, okay? All right. Now you know why, the beginning, see? So it was the beginning of the semester. I am a junior, and I was taking such involved courses as chemistry. We took chemistry. I also remember taking third year history. It's a good goodie. That was a European history up through the Treaty of Versailles. It's a kind of a all-inclusive course. It went all the way back to the Treaty of Ghent. They had a lot of treaties in Europe. Did you notice that? Yes. You didn't know. Well, of course, you wouldn't know about these things. But nevertheless, I was about to embark on my junior year in high school. So it was a nice fall day, and it was about 3 or 4 days into the semester, and we had been told what books we are to buy for this coming year, and the teachers also, well, you got to have your book in the next 10 days, whatever it was. And so I went home, and I said to my mother, and actually it was my old man. I said to my old man, I says, I've got to have, I've got to have some dough for the books this year. He says, how much do you need? I said, well, I can buy a couple of them used. I can get a used history book, but they changed the book in chemistry now. That was an old trick. Every year they changed the book, so you're stuck with all these useless books. So I said, I got to get a chemistry book, and that's $4.50. And I got to get a book for, an algebra book, and so I tell them all these things, see. So they come to about $16, right? So he says, boy, oh boy, this is really a drag. $16 for books? Well, to my father, $16 for books would be like if I came in and said I'm going to pay $16 to buy stalks of corn, or paper shoes or something like that. He never bought a book. And I said, hey, I am investing in books. So he gives me $16. Nice round green iron men, $16. Well, that's a lot of kale, So I got $16, so I'm supposed to go to the bookstore and go down, and buy the books. And so I come tooling into school this nice day. And I had about a week to buy the books. I didn't have to buy them on this one day. See, I had a week, so I had the $16. So I had it in my wallet. Now, unaccustomed thing in my wallet. Since in my wallet at that time, I usually had things like, I was in high school. What did I have in my wallet? Well, it's none of your business. Anyway, I had a lot of stuff in my wallet that had nothing to do with money. So I had now $16 in the wallet. Well, on this day, it was a very funny thing. Every year when you go to a big high school, you meet new kids every new semester. You're in new classes. There's a whole new crowd. You understand this. So about the third or fourth day, I come wandering out of the History 3 class with a couple of guys I had just met, and one said to the other, well, it's payoff time, Clifford. At which point Clifford said, "Yep, boy, you really got me this week." And says, "Yep, I'm going to pay off. One thing I always do, Stan, is I pay right on the nose. Here's your $10." And Stan now is handed a $10 bill. I says, "What are you guys paying off?" And he says, oh boy. He says, Clifford here is the bookie. He says, "And Clifford's making book." And he says, "Clifford's making book." And he says, I nicked him on the 4th at Arlington Park. I says, $10. How much did you bet? He says, $2. I says, "You mean you gave him $2 and you got $10 back?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "What do you do?" He says, "Well, you pick which horse is going to win." I says, "Is that all there is to it? How many horses run?" He says, "Well, in the 4th at Arlington yesterday, there were six horses." I said, "Six horses? You just picked the one out of there that's going to win? And you got, let's see, $10, that's $8 profit you made on that." He says, "That's right." I said, "Do you win much?" At that point, Clifford says, "Oh, my God, that guy's killing me. He never misses." He says, "How much have you won lately, Stan?" And Stan says, "Oh, let's see, in the past 2 weeks, 12, 7, 8 today. Let's see, it's been about $45 in the last 2 weeks I nicked you for, right?" At that point, my eyeballs are beginning to bug, you know. This kind of dough, when you're talking about this kind of money, and I had a paper route that I'd average 85, 86 cents a week on my paper route, see? And that's after I bought, the usual incidental stuff to keep me going on the paper route, like a fudgesicle. I'd buy a fudgesicle every day. I'd buy a Coke every time I came in to fold up my papers. And I'd owe the guy that, gave us the papers. I would average about, 23, 24 cents clear a week on my paper route. So when you're talking about this kind of money, the kid makes $45, and all he's doing is picking the horses. I didn't think much about it, see, but I go through a couple of classes, and I meet my buddy Jack Martin. See, it was just a whole new world. I didn't know about this world before. Now, I'm sure a lot of you never heard of this world. I think that within every group of people, particularly males, there are things going on that the others don't even know about, don't even suspect. And it's, you suddenly find it out, and you wonder, what the hell's been happening to my life? How come I wasted my life? So about 3 or 4 classes later, I'm sitting with an old friend of mine, Jack Martin. And I said to Martin, we're in a study hall, see, and I'm sitting there in the study hall. I'm thinking about this, $45, this guy Stanley has made $45 in 2 weeks. Now, this is the eternal dream of every kid. And I had a lot of ways to spend that $45. For one thing, I was deeply into amateur radio. That's an expensive hobby. My entire ham station, including the receiver, including the transmitter, I would say, if sold for the copper and brass alone, would bring me maybe $1.50. I made it out of old Maxwell House coffee cans and stuff, I was thinking, my God, if I could get $45, if I could get my hand on that, I'd buy myself a couple of crystals. I'd, Electro Voice 638 microphone, that goes for $17 alone there. And I was thinking all this stuff. See, that's what gets you. That's what gets you. You begin to spend the money you have not earned. And many a guy sees himself hitting the big one at the OTB and then spending his declining years on this houseboat in Biscayne Bay, somewhere down in the Caribbean, right? You see, that's terrible. It's like, the pursuing the golden apples or the golden fleece or the white whale of Ahab. I mean, is there a white whale or was it only in Ahab's head? That's the problem. So I'm sitting there, in this study home. I say to Jack Martin, no buddy of mine, Martin, I said, hey, Jack. He said, yeah. I ain't known Jack Martin since we were in Warren G. Harding School. I know, just a guy. He says, hey, Jack, listen, do you know Clifford Simonson? He turns to me and he says, yeah. How do you know Cliff? I said, well, he's in my history class. said, what do you know about him? I said, well, Jack, I was going to ask you. I said, did you hear, do you know a guy named Stanley Roper? And he said, yeah, I know Stan. What about Stan? I said, well, you know that Stanley Roper gave Cliffy $2 and Clifford gave him back $10. And you know what Martin said? Martin says, oh, you mean, oh, well, he says, you mean you're talking about Cliffy's bookmaking, huh? I didn't even know anything about book. What do you mean? To me, bookmaking was the guys that made geography books, you know? And I said, Gene, you know, I thought I was going to tell Martin something big, see? Martin says, oh, yeah, he says, boy, I've laid off a couple of bucks with Cliff in the past. I said, you've what? He says, yeah, I've laid a couple of bucks off with Cliff in the past. I said, you mean you too? He said, oh, yeah, he said, hell, he says, Bowers too. He said, how about Alec? Yeah. You mean Al Joshway? All these kids, I didn't know anything about it. They're all betting on the horses. Well, so, you know, here, and this is incidentally a key to, I think, almost everything that winds up being an evil sin. You got to get in the swim. I just wonder how many guys have become drug addicts because Cliffy did it. You know? So I said, you know, I felt like a real, you know, I felt like all of a sudden I'm a boob. You know, I'm a real boobaroonie, you know. Here I am working around out there with this paper up, and these other guys are betting $2 on racetrack. $2? So I said to him, I says, well, how do you pick them? Oh, he says, well, are you kidding? And I said, no, I'm not kidding. How do you pick them? He says, well, I pick them out of the Tribune. He says, you know, they have this thing in the back there, in the back of the sport page, which is today's handicap selections. Well, that was a part of the sport page I never even looked at. I'd see all these numbers, you know, today's handicap selections and stuff like that. And I says, well, how do you do it? He says, well, you look in the handicap selection there, you know, and it says at Arlington Park, our handicapper picks Big Shot in the third, and a 3-1 choice, and down the line. He says, if you want to do it, he says, you can go it that way. He says, but you know, these guys aren't there. They don't know it all. He says, I'll pick when I think he's got a good selection. I'll go in and I'll lay off a couple of bucks with Clippy. You get it on the paper, huh? I says, yeah. At that moment, the whole world developed for me. I says, I see. You get it out of the paper. So that night, we get the Chicago Sun Times. You heard of the Sun Times? Well, you know, the paper. And the Daily News here in New York, they have this whole page, about 15 pages, really. It looked like all kinds of little numbers. So I get the sport page, and I, instead of reading about what's going to happen to the White Sox next year, as they always have, or what happened to the Chicago Bears last week, which they always have, and why they lost, I go right on through all this stuff, and I get to the back, and it's this handicap selection. At first, you make no sense of this. And I'm looking at it, and it says Arlington Park. It says first race, Arlington Park. Wave the Banana is the pick for Arlington Park in the first race, our handicapper. And at the top it says our handicapper hit 3 out of 5 yesterday. He's ahead $17.42 on the week. You've seen this all the time? So I sit down, Wave the Banana, first in Arlington Park for tomorrow. Not bad, and I keep looking down, and I'm looking at this whole thing, and I'm wondering about this season. Now remember, I got 16 Iron Men in my pocket, exactly 16 to buy $16 worth of books, which I had to have within the next 8 days. The next day, I'm in history class. I see Cliff sitting over there, and he's having a long conversation with Stanley. And another conversation with a guy named Jimmy, who I knew vaguely, played the clarinet. And these guys are huddled in the back there before the class is opening up. And I wander back there, and they immediately stop talking. See, guys who are betting apparently are very, very surreptitious about it. They don't talk much about it. They stop talking. So I just brought it right up. I says, hey, Cliff, how about Wave the Banana in the first? Oh, he says, so what do you want to buy? I said, $2. He says, on the nose? I said, on the what? He says, on the nose? I said, yeah, on the nose. Yeah, I didn't know what on the nose meant. See, so I said, yeah. He says, well, where's the two? I made a fatal error. I reached into my pocket, took my Roy Acuff wallet out of it, opened it up, and removed two of the $16 and handed them to Clifford. He said, okay, so how about you, Stan? And Stan says, you putting on the nose on Wade the banana? Are you out of your mind? I said, that's where I'm going. He said, well, okay, every guy, says, my God, he says, where the hell are you getting your dope? And I said, well, you know, I just got a hunch. And at that point, Jimmy laughed. He says, oh, God, another one of those hunch-type guys. Forget it. I am in the whole world. I don't know what I'm talking, you know, what I'm talking with, but I'm playing it big, you know. Nobody ever admits when you're 16 that you don't know your you-know-what from a banjo. You just don't. Especially when you're talking to guys named Cliffy and Stan. You just do not. So I said, we'll see, you guys. Well, then Cliff says, anything else? You want to go for anything else on the topic? I said, no. At that point, I made another fatal mistake. The worst thing that can happen to a horse player is to listen to another one. Right? Stan says to me, he says, listen, he said, you want to buy an insurance bet? He says, you ought to have an insurance bet. You're betting Wade the banana on the nose. You better have something to back it up. I said, back it up. I didn't know. He says, yeah. He says, listen, he said, hot dog in the fourth. I said, who? What? He says, hot dog in the fourth. Hot dog in the fourth is a boat race. I said, it's a what? A boat race? You mean they're going to race them in boats or something? Shut up and put it on the, right on the button. I says, hot dog in the fourth on a button. So I said, hey, Cliff, how about the fourth, hot dog? He says, on the nose? I says, yeah, on a button. He says, okay, what do you want? And at that point, Stanley says, five. It's a boat race, for God's sakes. You got to cover that, too. You want to pick up a little during the day, don't you? None of this made any sense to me. I says, five. So he says, okay, five it is. And so I open my wallet and I take out five. Now I'm in seven. You got it, friends? Okay. So at that, Mr. Wilson walks in and the history class began, and it was not mentioned. And during history class, one does not discuss hot dog and wave the banana. So we sat there, and I'm real excited. See, I'm all excited about this thing. Oh, wow, you know, I'm really excited. So it is now noontime. See, this class was roughly 11 in the morning. See, so it's now noontime. We're out at lunch, see, and I'm standing around, and I'm out with Schwartz and Flick, and I'm keeping my mouth shut, see, because I know these guys don't bet. You know, they're not part of this hip crowd from a History 3, see, so I'm standing around. And I can hardly wait to get all this dough. And I'm not saying anything. I figured if I let these guys in, that they're going to spoil it. You know, too many guys getting this dough. Obviously, it's got to go down the drain. See, so I'm not saying anything. And Schwartz keeps saying, "What are you grinning about?" I said, "Oh, nothing, Schwartz." It just never occurred to me what could happen. So about roughly 3:30 that afternoon, I am walking along through the hall, and along comes my friend Stanley. Stanley is walking down the hall. He's got a pile of books under his arm, you know. He's got his sweater on with a big H and all that stuff. He's walking along, and he grabs a hold of my arm. He says, oh, God. He says, well, you can't win them all. I said, what do you mean? He says, you only ran seventh. I said, who ran seventh? He says, hot dog. I said, hot dog? I didn't put it together right away. I, I says, well, what the hell? I says, you'll make it up tomorrow. I said, hot dog, you mean the horse that $5? He says, yep. He says, you put $5 on a nose. He says, well, what the hell? It's a good tip. And after all, he had he come in, it would have been 12 to 1. 12 to 1? I said, what is that? He said, yeah, you made about, you made about $60 on that. I said, $60? He said, yeah, but he ran 7th. So what the hell? He said, oh, by the way, you almost made it with the wave of banana. I said, what do you mean? He says, come in second. Come in second? Yep, half a length. I didn't know what lengths meant. You know, I thought, I said, do I get any money? He said, well, you mean you bet him on a nose. Oh. And the realization hit me. I was out 7 iron men. And remember, this is the money to buy books, friend. This is not money that I got, you know, fooling around with that paper rod. This is my old man's money. And now I am really up against it. See, so I go home. I'm sitting there at dinner time. And I'm nervous. I'm worried. I'm really, you know, beginning to sweat inside. I'm where the hell am I going to get $7, you know, to get that money back? So I pick up the newspaper. Now, wait a minute. I pick up the newspaper. And I see in the second race, is a horse named Dorothy A. is going. And Dorothy A., by the way, is not even listed in the handicapper's picks. But Dorothy A. was the name of a girl that I was totally in love with. A girl named Dorothy Anderson. Now, I had enough of this handicapper's picks. So I figured to myself, that's a good sign. Dorothy A. So I can hardly wait to get to school. The next day, I'm sitting in history class, and I walk over, you know, I go back to the back of the room. There's Cliff sitting back there, you know, he's talking to Stanley and all these guys. And I said, Dorothy A. in a second. He looks at me, and he says, Dorothy A. I says, Dorothy A. in a second. Dorothy A. in a second. He says, what are you going to put on it? I said, $9. He says, $9? You mean you're sure you're not meaning 10? I says, that's all I had. Out of the 16, I'd lost 7. I had $9. I says, $9. He says, $9. I'm Dorothy A? I says, Dorothy A. And Stanley says, Hey, do you know something? I says, well, you hear things around. He says, hey, Cliff, give me 5 on Dorothy A. in a second. And Cliff says, what the hell is this? $5 on Dorothy A. in a second? He says, what are you guys doing there? I said, I'm going all the way. At 3 o'clock that afternoon, I'm walking through the hall, and I'm worried. Stanley comes up to me. He says, my God, where did you get your dope? And I says, what dope? 7 to 1. We hit him for 7 to 1. I says, 7 to 1, what does that mean? He says, well, let's see, you get $35. He says, I pick up 35. You get the 48.50. I says, I made 48. He says, yeah. Oh, my God. And that night, I collected $48 from Clifford, the most money I ever had in my life. I bought my books and never again bet on another horse. You're listening to a winning horse player, friends. I'm still ahead of the game. But I remember that sleepless night. God only knows why I'd been on Dorothy A. in a second. I can't walk past OTB without developing a nose that perspires heavily. And I know what's going to happen. One day, somebody's going to get me in there. I know it. Because I know what's inside of me. Have you ever had the feeling that you could very easily go crazy? You ever had the feeling that you're on the verge of it? Have you ever had the feeling that if you drank one more glass of bourbon, you could become a raving alcoholic? Have you ever done that? You ever had the feeling you could become a total satyr and spend your entire life chasing women up and down elevator shafts? Right. So you got to constantly keep a rein, a check on yourself. Well, listen, all I got to do is walk in one OTB office, win one race, and 2 years later, you're going to see Shepard shuffling up and down the Bowery, a broken man, looking for another quarter to bet on another nag. I've got to stop it.
You've been listening to Gene Shepard, humorist, author, and recipient of the Mark Twain Award for 1976.